We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the NBA front office show. The playoffs, round one in full swing. We got plenty to talk about there. We'll talk about the sixth man of the year, Malik Monk. What happened? How did he not win it? We're going to talk a bit about that. We'll also get into, well, we've got some scheduled nonsense. We got to talk Wolverine and Deadpool, or Deadpool and Wolverine, I should say. We've got plenty of stuff to talk about on today's show. If you're not a subscriber yet to the channel, make sure you do subscribe. Don't forget to turn on those notifications as well over the podcast side, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is that you listen to the show. Make sure you give us that rating and review. Keith, how you doing today? I would imagine, given that you are strongly connected, much more strongly connected than I am to Celtics Twitter, that everyone is being perfectly reasonable with their takes today.
Yep. Yeah, the minute the game ended, people were like, well, sometimes you lose a game, but the world didn't end, and let's all have ice cream. Like, yeah, it was great. It was a great night.
Good morning.
Like, yeah, all around good stuff. No, it was a absolute freaking mess. I said this, if it was the Indiana Pacers, I don't think people would be freaking out nearly as much. I think people would be like, oh well, like they shot like crazy and we lost the game. Mm-hmm. It's because it's the Heat, and there's all that history with the Heat. There is a sense of this is the same as it was a year ago and those kind of things. That's where I think people are really struggling with this. Look, Miami shot it historically well. Boston had a game plan that was obviously designed around letting them shoot three-pointers, not overly contesting those threes, hoping certain players would miss. Those players did not miss. When you get outscored by 33 points on threes, we've talked about it, I feel like at least 10, 15 times this year, you're going to lose the game. Like, that's just the reality of how the NBA works. My bigger problem was the Celtics offense. Miami switched heavily and let the Celtics attack them inside. And the Celtics were more than happy to do so. And they did so with fairly good results, but they didn't get up enough three-pointers to counter the balance there. And they ended up losing the game. I don't think the series is over. I don't know that Miami can repeat this. I realize Miami did this a couple times last year too, so we'll see. But I don't know.
People are saying the series is over. It's 1-1.
Yes, my friend. There are people who have full on said that's it. It's done. We're right back to where we were a year ago. This thing's over. Spoelstra knows how to coach. Joe Mazzulla should be drawn and quartered and spread to the various corners of New England. And yeah, I mean, they're mad. Super mad. And like, we're closing in on 24 hours later and people are still really angry. So it's also really helpful that there's 2 days off between games. Yeah.
Because it's just going to fester that much.
Yeah, exactly. More. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, Miami goes on like a 10-0 run to start game three. Like, that's like, don't walk around the streets of Boston because you may be dodging people jumping off of roofs.
Keith, the best point differential in the NBA, the best record in the NBA by a ton, and you drop one game in which the Heat shoot. We talk about it all the time. The three-point shot is the great equalizer. They shoot 54% from deep. And you mentioned scheming certain guys open. I feel that pain. I've been there. That's what the Lakers do. They scheme certain guys open, and if those guys hit shots, Marcus Smart did it to the Lakers earlier this year. Draymond Green did it to the Lakers. If those guys hit shots, that's it. The game's over. You're done. Yep. That's the power of the three-point shot. We can talk about maybe the three-point shot is overpowered. That is a much bigger, much different conversation. But by no means do you look at a 54% from three game and say, that's normal. That's something that is simply going to happen from here on out. I will say I did not see the whole game, but I've seen a few clips that have been going around. Miami's defense did a tremendous job. I thought they were, from what I saw, they were really on point. They were really making sure that they gave the Celtics as much of a challenge as they could.
The guys were working physical.
Very physical, and the guys were all working together on a string. And that's, you do those two things, and it can be really tough to deal with. But yeah, look, this is it an upset win? For sure. But it doesn't mean the sky is falling or anything like that. I mean, there's a long way to go here. It's a 1-1. If it was a 3-1 series, okay, I get it, but it's 1-1 right now. What are we talking about?
Yeah, I had somebody ask me last night, this is exactly the same thing that happened last year. And I said, well, last year they were down 3-0. So it's not exactly the same. But it's, hey, people like to be mad, and people really like to be mad online. So it is what it is. And it's, you know, I don't know. I just can't get there. Like, it's, you know, you want to have takes throughout the course of the game and have some fun. I mean, that's fine, right? That's part of the fun of doing this virtual sports bar community that Twitter has become. But it's the after the game where it's like the doom and gloom, and, you know, life is terrible. And, you know, it's that part where, I don't know, I just can't get there. But we'll see what happens Saturday afternoon. They play game three, and we'll see. My guess is it's not going to be the same. My camera,
you know,
I'll be back.
Okay. Keith will be back in just a moment when his camera even has said, that's it. It's over. I'm done. I'm checking out. And his camera said, I am out of here with that loss. You know, obviously from a Lakers perspective, I was not sad to see the result of that game. I was hoping this series would not be a sweep. I predicted it would be a sweep because the Celtics, I think, are clearly the better team. But this is the power of the three-point shot in today's NBA. It's something that allows teams to make up for a gap in quality. It's not a long-term solution because they're not going to shoot 54% from three every single game. And the Celtics, who on the season shot more threes than anybody else, didn't shoot all that poorly. I mean, they shot 38% from deep. That's pretty good. that's pretty good. But when Miami shoots that well, that's going to be really tough to beat. Looks like Keith is back in. Hey, there you are. Your camera decided the sky was falling too.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, I don't know what happened there. Yeah, good times all around here at the Smith House. I promise I didn't punch it or anything like that. I no longer get that worked up. Maybe so, finals, we'll see. But yeah.
Last thing I want to talk about on this Heat-Celtics series, and we got some other stuff to move on to, but Nikola Jovic. Talk to me about him. I feel like from an outside perspective, like we could be watching, I'm not saying he's ascending to all-star level or whatever, but it seems like he's taken a real step this season.
Yeah, big time. He, a year ago, just looked completely overwhelmed and unready for the NBA. Just couldn't do anything defensively, could not stay in front of anyone. Offensively, there were glimmers that you saw on occasion, but it was like, there's going to be a long way to go with this guy. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. That was also fair, too, because he was 19. He's only 20. He doesn't even turn 21 until June. So we're in a spot with this guy where, all right, you know, he'll figure it out. He's going to grow into a bigger role. This year, 46 games played, 38 starts. A lot of those happened after other guys got injured. But he put up 7.7 points, 4.2 rebounds, shot 45% from the field and 40% from three on 3.5 attempts per game. So, like, a real pretty good sample size of being a shooter. The most important thing, he's held up defensively. He's not a good defender by any means. As far as you're not switching to mine. It's not like Bam, where it's like Bam, go switch on to whoever and cover him. But I mean, Bam's a defensive player of the year candidate. Jovic is pretty good Most guys, he's really good at funneling guys. He knows what he's supposed to do with guys. Yeah, when he has been asked to cover Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Derek White in space, it has not gone well. They usually get by him and create something or get their own, get themselves a shot. But if the right guys are in help position, he's really good at just staying attached enough to shade him to that help and force a pass or a tough shot or whatever it is. So really fun player, man. He is just another guy. He'll Miami does it again. Right? You know,
that's what I was going to say. Miami just finds it out. You look at who they're playing. It's Nikola Jovic who's taking a step forward. Jaime Jaquez, the rookie. This is painful as hell. He's getting major minutes with Miami and producing. They just keep finding these guys out there. I mean, incredible stuff, as always, by the Heat. And we'll see where the series goes from here. You're like, it gets interesting if the Heat win the next one.
Sure.
Otherwise, I still think Boston is, it's not going to be a problem. This is just going to be a minor speed bump. If the Heat win the next one, okay, it gets interesting. Otherwise, I still think Boston's going to be just fine. Despite fans.
Yeah, Celtics go down in the series. It's not going to be just the fans. Then you have to wonder at what point and what amount are the players like, man, here we go again. Like, we just can't. And that's right. The history of the NBA is teams have to – there's always a team that's in front of them that they have to climb to get there and beat. And that's – it's been that way, you know, almost my whole life. Occasionally, once in a while, that team just kind of disappears before they need to be – climb like Cleveland, the second Cleveland LeBron team. Well, LeBron left, and that's how it ended. Nobody ended up finally beating that LeBron team. That never happened. You know, he went to the finals every year in that second Cleveland run. So it really is, though, we're in a spot where it is. That's just how it is. And for the Celtics, mm-hmm. it's the Heat. You know, if they want to get to where they want to get to, they've got to beat Miami. And it needs to start, obviously, now. Right, that's where it is. So we'll see. I mean, and then you have the people who are, they're slightly more rational of, we're still going to beat Miami. The talent difference is too big. We're going to get there, but this doesn't bode well for us against whether it's Cleveland or the East Finals or Denver or whatever. And it's, for me, I'm like, I don't know. I just, they got to trust what I saw, you know, all year, but everybody who you say that to, a bunch of them fire back. I trust what I've seen the last several years in the playoffs, and it's hard to counter it because it's not exactly wrong.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. And then the playoffs is such a small sample size, but it's what sticks with you and it's what you remember. And so we'll see how the rest of the series plays out. But again, I haven't looked, but I have to imagine Boston's the heavy favorite for the next game. But well, maybe not heavy because it'll be in Miami, but.
Yeah, I would imagine they're probably still going to be 7 or 8 point favorites or whatever. And, you know, probably right.
It's not going to be like a 15-point favorite or something, but they'll be a favorite. The Thunder, I got to exhale a little bit, Keith. My fear was that the Thunder were going to 2 games in a row look so-so, and then Lakers fans would really be losing their minds and saying, oh my God, we really should have tanked that game so we could get the Thunder. No, the Thunder were great last night against the Pelicans, blew them out. SGA did SGA things, had 33 points, and off you go. Chet Holmgren dropped 26 on 9 of 13 shooting, and you know, good for the Thunder. It was good to see them kind of get their way out. Both these teams were kind of in the mud. It was a rock fight in game one. Good to see the Thunder got things going, and they showed everybody why they were the number one seed in the West this season.
Yeah, I hate to do this before we even play a road game, but it feels like that series is over, mostly because I don't know how New Orleans is going to score. Yeah. Like that's where my struggle is. This is, yes, they held the Thunder in check in game one. Maybe they can do that again. I just don't know how they're going to score themselves. Like that's my fear for New Orleans is, how are you going to come up with enough points? And, you know, in the playoffs, if you can't, you're going to have to crack 100. Most games to win. You're not going to win too many games with both teams under 100. And for New Orleans, that just seems like a monumental task right now, is even getting 100 points.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, no Zion Williamson, that's certainly a big factor here. But we talk about the power of the three. New Orleans shot 27% from deep. The Pelicans shot 48% from deep. There's your game right there. The Thunder won every single quarter. There was one quarter they tied, I guess, but still – It was an offensive display by OKC, and I don't think you're wrong. I mean, I didn't expect the Pelicans to be much of a threat in this series anyway, but I think you're right. I think that even going back to New Orleans, I think OKC is going to be just fine and are probably going to cruise through and be ready for the next round.
Yeah, and we both picked Thunder in six, so
yeah,
we'll see.
We could be wrong.
I think that's now I'm more leaning probably Thunder in five, maybe Thunder in even four.
If the Pels are going to get a game, it's game three.
Yeah. Once you go fall down 3-0, generally,
you're
done. Yeah.
Your mind starts wandering. You start thinking about Cancun and, singing karaoke and things like that.
If you're the lower seeded team and you've lost the first two on the road, you lose the third game at home, you start thinking about, the next plane flight I take is somewhere else. It's not back to Oklahoma City. It's, maybe back to, maybe back home, wherever they're from, or I'm taking it to the beach somewhere, Cancun.
Yeah. You're already in New Orleans. Quick plane flight south. You're in the Caribbean. Let's go.
Maybe just stay in New Orleans and have a little bit of fun. It's a fun city.
There you go.
Just stay there.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. We did have a award result come out. Naz Reid wins Sixth Man of the Year. A lot of people thought it should have been Malik Monk. I actually don't have a problem. Like, I was my vote. Had I had a vote, it would have gone to Malik Monk. I believe that he was a worthy winner of this award. I think also in terms of his archetype, he fits in with that the typical Sixth Man winner, which would be a Jamal Murray, a Lou Williams type player. I'm sorry. Why am I missing this name?
No, Jamal Murray, Jamal Crawford.
Jamal Crawford. Goodness gracious. I am stuck on this series. Oh, let me redo that.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jamal Crawford. I'm like, Jamal, it's not Murray. Why is that happening? Oh, I'm having nightmares about this series at this point. Okay. Here we go. A Jamal Crawford, a Lou Williams type player. This Naz Reid is more of a throwback to a Lamar Odom style player. Not that they're the same, but more of a big, the sixth man coming in, the guy that could score the ball, could shoot a little bit from the outside, can attack off the bounce. Naz isn't the passer that Odom is, but you can see kind of the similarity in the role, being the third guy in the three big rotation, which is what we saw with Odom with the Lakers. So Naz Reid went Sixth Man of the Year. Look, Naz has been great. I take nothing away from him. I would have gone for Malik Monk, but I can't look at this and say, oh, Naz doesn't deserve it. No, Naz is very deserving.
Yeah, when we got the three finalists with the third guy being Bobby Portis, I had no real complaints on any of the three. I was like, yeah sure. You know, I was with you. I thought it would be Malik Monk. It was the closest voting we've ever had. Just so people know, Naz Reid got 45 first place votes, 39 second place votes, and 10 third place votes. Mm-hmm. Malik Monk got 43 first place votes, same amount of second and third place votes. So it was literally those two first place votes that did it. And that means, let's see, if I'm doing some quick math here, looks like six people left Naz Reid off their ballot entirely, and you vote for the top three for Sixth Man of the Year. And it looks like eight people left Malik Monk off their ballot entirely. So that just kind of gives you a sense. Bobby Portis obviously was third, very distant third. Norman Powell was fourth. And then Bogdan Bogdanovic was actually fifth. He had four first place votes. So throw a couple of those from Malik Monk and we get ourselves a tie. But yeah, I people were very upset. I think to some extent for Kings fans, it was our season is over. This is kind of all we have left. Like we want our guy to win the award. And I think Malik Monk just has a cool story, right? He's like, total redemption arc for him, starting with the Lakers, now continuing with the Kings. So here's the big thing too. Malik Monk, sure, he's still a little bummed out because he made it clear he really wanted to win. He'll probably be doing okay when he gets a massive payday here in a couple months. From the
Orlando Magic. Agency starts.
Yeah, I think it's
I'm going to speak it into existence, Keith.
Yeah, you can keep speaking. I think it's going to be the Kings, personally. I don't think he's going to leave.
You think they can give him enough?
I think they can give him enough where they're going to do that wink, wink. We're going to pay you some now. Take the option year, and then we'll figure it out next summer with the full bird rights.
Let's be honest, Keith. I have an ulterior motive here. Get people out of the West. Quit piling in. The phone booth, there's no more room. Get out. Go East, please. Somebody.
Right. Yeah. And for the Kings, they couldn't replace him if he leaves. Like, they don't have real ways to do that. So that's a challenge if they lose them, for sure.
Yeah. No, I just actually we talked about this the other day. When you're watching Orlando play, they need that kind of player. They need somebody who can come in and score the basketball, whether it's Malik Monk or somebody else. I'm interested to see what they do this summer to, even though they're still playing, you know, to fix that. But speaking of the summertime, the draft, we did see ties in the draft broken. This is what it now looks like. Now that the draft ties have all been broken, Keith, is there anything that jumps out at you where you think, oh man, that was a surprise or whatever, or anything that stands out now that everything has settled that you weren't expecting to see?
Yeah, I think so first, if you scroll down just a little bit on the second rounders, I'll tell you when to stop. Keep going. All right, you can stop. You could see second round picks. Only four teams have their pick.
Yeah.
Like have the are the original owners of the pick. Like that's crazy. That's how much second round picks have changed hands. The two probably most interesting things in the tiebreaker was Charlotte and Portland. That broke a 3-4 tie. Charlotte lands at three. Portland lands at four. So that's a pretty big
Factor. That's significant.
Yeah, because remember the lottery drawing is for the top four picks. So if teams jump in, they're going to get pushed down. It's a much more of a flat draft, so I'm not super stressed about it. I don't think teams will be. Then if you scroll down to about the middle, I guess, here we go. So they're still showing New Orleans getting the Lakers pick. I don't think that's going to happen. I think New Orleans is going to defer it to next year. It's just the smart decision for the Pelicans. There is a world where the Lakers fall apart and aren't as good, and you get a really great pick next year in a very deep draft. Or there's a world where the Lakers are slightly better than this, and you get a slightly worse pick in a really deep draft. I see no reason to take it this year. does.
I agree 100%. Yeah. Keith, I you remember on The Office when they were doing, when it was The Office Christmas, and they were doing, yeah, Michael Scott calls it Yankee Swap. We all know, yeah, White, yeah, Elephant or whatever, yeah, right? And nasty, he gets Christmas, that the, yeah, the terrible, yeah, Nasty Christmas. He gets the terrible oven mitt, and he's trying to get somebody to take it, and he's talking it up about how great it is and all that. That's what the Lakers need to be doing right now with their 17th pick. They need to hope the Pelicans take this pick so they can keep their 2025 pick. I've said, even if their plan is to trade whichever pick they have, whether it's 2025 or this one, I think the 2025 pick, just by virtue of everything you said, is more valuable even right now.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Yeah. So if I'm the Lakers, again, I'm talking up this draft. I'm doing everything I can trying to entice the Pelicans to take this year, this year's pick. I do not think they're going to. It makes no sense. But I think the Lakers should be hoping that the Pelicans take this year's pick.
Yep. Yeah, I'm with you. And then you can see it right there on the bottom of the screen. The funny one was the three-way tie between the Pelicans, Suns, and Bucks. What's funny is they just flip-flopped the Pelicans and the Bucks, but then it flip-flops the other way because New Orleans can swap with the Bucks anyway.
So, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. And then the next one is, this is where it gets annoying to me as a Celtics person, was the Knicks in the Mavericks for the 24-25. The Knicks had the pick, both picks anyway. So, but what ended up happening was Dallas won. So that means it's the inverse in the second round. That's how the second round works. It's the opposite of whatever happened in the first round. So that means Dallas's pick moved. So Boston's pick moved one lower that they get from the Mavs. So it doesn't matter. It's 53 versus 54, but just, you know, just that part was kind of funny too. So
that deep in the draft, like that deep in the draft, you've got plenty of people that are, some of the, a decent amount of the players, even at that point in the draft, are saying, don't draft me because I really want to go to team X, Y, or Z or whatever. They've got their landing spot off. It's not like, you know, it's not going to matter that, but it is, I get it. Even
it's just
any type of move down. This is by no means the Detroit Pistons getting bumped to, what was it, number six last year? This is not that.
Yeah. Which is, by the way, the worst, like, it is literally the worst possible outcome. If you're first, you cannot go lower than fifth. Four teams jumped the Pistons to push them down. And then the last thing I want to say on the draft order, just worth noting, you can see it on the right-hand side of the screen in the second round. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia and Phoenix both forfeited picks. Those were the picks from tampering with players, tampering and jumping the gun on free agency. So that's what those were for. So that finishes the penalty for Philly. Phoenix is actually getting the pick from Denver. But once that was confirmed to convey, they lose that pick now. So we're only going to have 58 picks in this draft. So that's worth noting.
And I know people will say, oh, that's, but you're taking away a player's ability to get drafted and he doesn't get to hear his name called on draft night and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, but like I said, there has to be some kind of type of punishment in here. And especially once we start getting later into the draft, there are guys who would rather not be picked at the end of a draft. So if you're forfeiting a late second round pick, it's not as big of a deal. If it's like a first round pick that gets okay. But when it's, you know, the 58th pick or whatever, or the 49th pick, technically, they were talking about mid second round picks. It doesn't matter as much, I don't think.
No, it didn't. Yeah, nowhere close. Like it's not that it's not a big deal, but it's not. People are not. A lot of players and agents they start playing games right around the 35th pick of, hey, what are we doing here? And then there is will you take a two-way contract if we draft you? There's guys who will start telling teams, like, I don't want to go there. I'd rather go to, you know, a team that does, you know, doesn't have a pick or whatever. This year, too, just worth noting, the only team without a pick at all right now, the Brooklyn Nets, are the only team that does not have a pick in this year's draft. Everybody else has at least one pick. Some are second rounders only, but there. A couple more quick things on the draft. The lottery is May 12th, so we're still a couple weeks out from that. It is a Sunday this year. It is also Mother's Day. So
good reminder.
Why, I don't know. Like, I'm not sure exactly why they moved it. It had always historically been on a weeknight. It was usually done right before one of the playoff
games. Yeah.
So, but it is what it is. They'll do it, I'm assuming, in the, you know, run of the playoff games at Sunday, but that's when the lottery will be. And then this Saturday is actually the final day for players to declare as early entry candidates. So there's been a ton of guys that have declared already, both international and U.S. Born players. So those guys have declared. And then we get into, it's much later once we get into the end of May and the beginning part of June, when players have to decide if they're staying in the draft or not. NCAA has one date that's a couple weeks ahead of the NBA's date. And then we have the NBA date that comes after that. So,
and we actually right now are doing a mock draft for the basketball bulletin. Bryce Simon is putting that together. That'll be up there. I'll put the link in the description down below so you guys can check out the basketball bulletin. All kinds of great stuff going up there, getting ready for the draft, talking, obviously the playoffs. All kinds of things are going up there. There's different scouting reports. There's game breakdowns, all kinds of stuff you can find there on the basketball bulletin. Again, I'll put the link in the description down below if you guys want to check that out.
Yep.
Keith, we've got a few minutes left. We haven't done this in a while.
Do it.
Scheduled nonsense. Deadpool and Wolverine. This is the most excited I've been in a while, I think, for a Marvel movie, for a superhero movie. In general, I'm hoping this is going to breathe new life into the genre. It's felt like things have gotten a little bit stale. I hope that indeed Wade Wilson is Marvel Jesus and can resurrect the superhero genre here. Your thoughts on the trailer? By now, I'm assuming everybody has seen the trailer. It's been out for a few days. I've watched it multiple times. What did you take from it?
Yeah, if you haven't watched it, pause it.
Go watch it.
And then come back. Absolutely a hilarious trailer. Very funny with the tone of Deadpool. Way more language.
Yes.
To quote Steve Rogers, than we have ever seen in a Marvel movie. James Gunn got the first F-bomb, I believe, slipped into Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And this trailer had about 25 of them. So we're definitely going to see a little bit more language than we're used to in the trailer, but it looks a lot of fun. It is a multiversal story somehow. Deadpool gets pulled in or visits.
Because of the end of Deadpool 2, he started traveling through time and going and messing with the timeline. So now we're going to get into the TVA and they're going to be getting it and going out. Something's going to happen there because they specifically said this Wolverine failed his world or whatever. I'm paraphrasing that. This Wolverine, that tells you it's a Wolverine variant that we're dealing with. It may not be the main timeline Wolverine. In fact, I think we're going to see multiple Wolverines in this movie.
I think there's a chance. Yeah. I mean, the cool thing is you in the image you chose here, he's in his iconic, like X-Men, the, you know, television animated series and comics run with his yellow and blue suit, which that's a lot of fun too. I'm sure however he gets into that, there'll be some form of jokes made about that one. But yeah, we see them fighting each other. We see them fighting together. I cannot wait. I am beyond excited for this. This is it for Marvel this year. Like we're going to get a couple TV things that will come later in the year, but this is it for movies. So this one's got kind of a lot riding on it. So I think it looks really, really good. And I'm really hopeful that it ends up delivering.
You can already feel the buzz from this one. It reminds me of like years ago when it was the buzz for, you know, the Avengers, the first Avengers movie was coming out. There was that buzz for it. You know, you can just tell like there's a different feel to this one than there was like the Marvels or somebody. Certainly Madam Web, no question that more than that. But this feels like it's on another level. This is a big time event. So I can't wait for this. This is going to be awesome. My expectations are super, super high. Please do not let me down. Let's not do a Star Wars episode one with this thing. Let's set that bar high and let's meet that, because the potential here for this is through the roof, and I can't wait. I can't wait for this. There's so much to break down. I don't know if you watch like new rock stars and stuff where they break down. Their breakdown of the 2-minute trailer was like 33 minutes, and I watched the hell out of it because they crammed in so many things in that short little trailer. It's amazing.
The things they spot too, where it's like unbelievable. I mean, I guess it's kind
of
like
some of it is blurry too on the screen. Yeah. They show it. They zoom in on. Yeah. I'm like, how do you know what that says?
Yeah.
But they know.
They're like, this, you know, corner of this cloak looks like it could be this person that, you know, and it's like, oh, geez. So, yeah, I'm super excited. The other fun thing about this, it, unless release date moves, which I don't think it's going to, comes out on July 26th is the release date. Right after Summer League, right before the Olympics. Like, let's go.
Right when I get back from vacation. Let's go.
I will be full on in the theater that day. I'm going to try to be at the earliest showing I can get to. You know, midnight movie releases are rough for me now. I struggle with those. And that's usually when this season has slowed down and the off season slowed down. So I start going to bed earlier. But yeah, man, I can't wait. I'm beyond fired up. It's going to be awesome.
Last thing, the giant man, Ant-Man, and the big size, the dead giant from the Old Man Logan stories and everything. Like, okay, that was pretty awesome seeing that, and that's the direction they're going to be going with it. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait for this one. It's going to be fun. I'm sure we'll have plenty of time to talk about this more as we get closer to it and other trailers get released and all that. By the way, before we get out of here, the NFL draft is tonight. Enjoy your pancakes. Get your picks back, all of them, and make sure that you walk away with David Putney. And that's the important things. Vontae Mack, no matter what, one of the best bad sports movies ever made, Draft Day, and we get the NFL draft tonight and basketball. So this is going to be a busy evening, Keith. That's for sure.
Yeah, and if the Patriots trade out of 3 and come away with a bunch of extra picks and no quarterback, I'm not going to be happy.
They're not going to. Are they? I know they're taking. Everybody's taking calls though right now. They're not actually going to do that.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Okay, just get a quarterback, whichever one of the ones is left. Pick them. Move forward. I'm happy with all three. I've read way too much about all three guys now that the only result that will make me mad is trading out and not coming away with one of the three. I'm in on all three of them, so it'll be something. But yeah, man, I'm. Well, yeah, it's funny. I'm just going to say, I don't like the draft being like in the middle of the week at night, mostly because it goes head to head with the NFL or the NBA playoffs. I liked the draft starting Saturday afternoon. Like, I liked turning on the NFL draft and then hear them going all day Saturday and then all day Sunday and flipping back and forth between that and playoff games and stuff. I don't know. It's weird, but I get why they did it. They now get to own 3 nights of the calendar when they wouldn't have otherwise, and it is what it is. But I'll watch when the Pats are on the clock. Other than that, I'll just be following the draft tracker because we get hoops tonight. We got 3 games tonight. Great. So we're into game 2s now. Everybody – or game 3s, rather. Everybody's into the game 3s. So this is right for the teams tonight, the Magic, the – I forget what the other East game is. The Magic, the Sixers, and the Lakers. This is basically the season. Like, you got to win tonight or you're done. Season's over. Done. So let's see. Let's see what happens. I feel good about your guys tonight. I think if they're going to get you one, this is it.
All right. I hope you're right. We'll see. I hope you're right after what happened last game.
They
I don't know
if they'll be mentally recovered. They need to be like up 10-15 with 2 minutes to play. Otherwise, it's not going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. If they're up 8 starting in the fourth quarter, that's it.
Yeah.
Ball game.
Yeah.
You gotta have a too big of a cushion because Denver will do that. You know, they're gonna score 10 times on 12 possessions or something down the stretch, and that's the way it goes. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining the show. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel, check out the Basketball Bulletin as well. Putting the link to our Substack down below, basketballbulletin.substack.com. Till tomorrow. See ya and stay safe.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.